down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnell. Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnell. Thanks for tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show. And every week I invite various cutting-edge thought leaders to join us, people that will get us to think about things that we ordinarily don't think about, and also to perhaps broaden our perspective. And it was about 5-6 months ago that I saw a film called Jane. And it was about the life of Jane Goodall, who worked with chimpanzees in the East African desert and the jungle there. And I was moved by the story. And then recently there was an article about a gorilla named Coco dying. And then I received an email from a publicist that sends a lot of the authors that she works with to book them on my show. And so I extended an invitation to Dale Peterson. He has a new book out called The Author. He's the author of The Ghost of Gombe. That's his new book. And it's a true story of love and death in the African wilderness. And the way the story takes place is that Ruth Davis was a young American volunteer at Dr. Goodall's famous chimpanzee research camp in the Gombe Stream National Park of Tanzania, East Africa. She walked out of the camp to follow a chimpanzee into the forest. And 6 days later, her body was found floating in a pool of water at the base of a high waterfall. And the book is really about what happened. It's somewhat of a mystery, and the lives of the researchers there. And I just think it's a interesting story, what we can learn from animals. How do we communicate with them? And so there's no one better than Dale Peterson, who is the official biographer of Jane Goodall. And what an experience that must have been to get to know Jane Goodall and be her biographer wow. And I know your background was quite different too. So welcome to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. I'm delighted to be here and talking with you. The central story of my book is about this young woman who disappeared from camp. And as it happens, it was 49 years ago today that she disappeared. She disappeared on July 12th. 1969. So
wow.
That's kind of an interesting
timely
side note.
Wow.
And the book, it is. And the book is, you know, as you say, you're very interested in Jane Goodall, and this is really part of the Jane Goodall story. You know, this happened at her research site, and Jane was there at various times, and it really is an exploration of research going on with Jane and under Jane's leadership.
Well, what interests me about your story is that you were a Finnish carpenter in Silicon Valley, and you got to know Steve Jobs, and then you decided to somehow. How did you make that switch to go from being in Silicon Valley to this biographer, researcher, and this fascination with the primates, the chimpanzees?
Well, before I became a carpenter, I got a PhD in English, good preparation for carpentry.
Exactly.
But my goal was to be a writer, and I actually thought, you know, doing carpentry would give me plenty of time to write. I was mistaken because I was exhausted all the time from physical work.
Uh-huh.
But it happened that I did carpentry for a lot of people involved in Silicon Valley, including Steve Jobs, who was, you know, gave me my first computer and gave me lots of advice and was very, very nice to me. And I just started writing up books about computers. I really knew absolutely nothing about computers. But what happened was I called up a publisher. I knew this publisher. It was actually an editor for Prentice Hall, so a major publisher.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were looking for books about computers. And I said I wanted to write one. And he said, well, what do you know about computers? And I said, absolutely nothing. That's why I should do it. And
wow.
He was very, very foolish to hire me. But my thinking was that, you know, you do have an advantage in not knowing something about the subject because you ask the same, you know, you ask the naive questions. You ask the same questions that, you know, assuming that your reader also doesn't know about the subject, you're kind of on the reader's side. And that's the approach I took. I learned about computers by writing about them. And I was successful at this, so it surprised me, but I made pretty good money and designed a computer game, which brought in even better money. And so having done that, I figured out, well, I can write about anything. And
right.
So what would I like to write about? I thought, well, I'd really like to write about animals because I love animals. And then I realized my wife showed me an article about an endangered primate species in Brazil. So I said, okay, I'll write about endangered primates. And it took a while for me to get up to speed on the subject. It was
did you
not
actually,
as simple.
Did you actually go down to Brazil or that time?
Yes, I did. In fact, I went around the world looking for the world's 12 most endangered primate species, including that one in Brazil. You know, I went down the Amazon River in a small boat and traveled around Brazil and traveled across Africa and into Southeast Asia. So it was a major, major journey that I did on my own. A lot of times I didn't know quite where I was going, so there was a lot of, you know, exploration involved. But I did, my goal was to find the 12 most endangered primate species of the world, and I did find them. I wrote the book, and with that book under my belt. And
what was that book?
No,
Dale, what was that book?
It was called The Deluge in the Ark. The Deluge in the Ark. So it was kind of a biblical image, and the ark being the places in on the world, on the planet where animals are actually protected, you know, national parks and reserves and
mm-hmm.
so on. And having done that and having educated myself about primates are a very large group of animals, and they have many things in common. Humans are considered a primate. Roughly, at this point, about 425 species. And, you know, monkeys, apes, and so on. And one of the species of primates is the chimpanzee. Chimpanzees are a primate. They're a single species. And I thought, after I finished that first book, I thought, well, I'll write about chimpanzees. The reason I had not written about them earlier was that they're the most widely studied primate species in the world other than the human primate. So I thought, well, I'll do it, but I need an expert to help. And so I went searching for an expert.
Let me just backtrack a second.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think they're the most, you say the most other than humans, the most studied, written about primates?
Well, I think that, you know, they're the most closest to humans, for one thing. And there are quite a few chimpanzees in captivity in zoos and laboratories, which is another thing. And then Jane Goodall's groundbreaking research just opened the door on chimpanzee research. And, you know, by the time I was trying to write about them, there were several research sites studying them. So that's why they're probably the most fully studied primate species in the world. But,
and what year was that, Dale? What year was that?
Well, the my first primate book came out in 89. That was the one based on my travels around the world. And that's the year that I decided I would write about chimps as mm-hmm. my next book. And I needed an expert to help me because it was such a frighteningly challenging subject to write, you know, about a single species that was so thoroughly studied and so interesting and complex. So I went about searching for an expert. I met someone named Geza Teleki. He had written an article in a magazine, and so I phoned him and said, you know, Professor Teleki, I'd like to write a book about chimpanzees. I need a consultant. Would you consent to be my advisor? And he said he would. I went down to meet him in Washington, D.C., and I got down there, and we spoke for, a half an hour. And after that, he said, well, how would you like to write a book with Jane Goodall?
Whoa.
And I said, yeah, I said, of course I would. And he said, well, if you come back in 2 weeks, I'll introduce you.
Wow.
So he introduced me to Jane, and this was in June of 89. And it turned out that Jane was looking for a writer to help her write a book about chimpanzees, basically about ethical issues and conservation issues. Chimpanzees at the time were being used widely in laboratories, and there was some stockpiling going on because of the beginning of the AIDS crisis. Various laboratories were speculating that chimpanzees would be the best laboratory model for studying AIDS and also for developing an AIDS vaccine.
Wow.
So,
you know what's amazing, Adela, is on my show, so often we talk about those chance meetings, that synchronicity where it changes your whole life. And here it
is. Well, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that was a big thing. And, you know, I knew it at the time, but I couldn't have seen into the future. To shorten this story a lot, Jane agreed to co-author a book with me, and Geza would be our researcher. And it would be a book about, you know, chimpanzees and conservation and also the ethical issues of using chimpanzees in labs. We started that right in 89. The book came out in 93. And so it was, my first co-authorship. Obviously, I was co-authoring with a famous woman. And I have to say that, you know, I've done a co-authorship since then, and co-authoring a book is like getting married. You know, it's a very
mm-hmm.
intimate relationship. There's money involved. There's ego involved. And it can go badly. You can wind up hating the other person. Or it can go well, and you can wind up having a very long-term relationship. And that's what happened with Jane and me, is that the book went well. Jane liked the book. It was a good book. It was successful. And it was the start of a lifelong friendship between us. And then, of course, I wrote her biography, which meant that I got to know Jane very, very, very well. You know, I met her father, her mother, her, you know, and so on and so on. So it was the start of this very, very long-term friendship and, you know, collaboration.
Wow. Great story.
Yeah.
What a rewarding experience. I mean, there's certain people that sometimes I ask people, who would you like to sit down with? And spend an evening with and get to know. And
right.
you not only spend an evening, you've
yeah,
experienced a whole lifetime with this. Sound like an amazing human being.
Yeah. Jane is amazing, and I have spent time. This is a real privilege. I spent time with her at Gombe. You know, she still has, that's where she started her research in 1960, and she still has a research site going there. There are other people doing research, but Jane still runs it. And she has her own cabin. So, you know, it's not too many people who have a cabin in the middle of a national park, but she has one. It's right at the edge of the beach, so it's a beautiful spot. And, you know, I've stayed with her a couple of times, and it is truly a, you know, a real privilege to spend time at Gombe with, you know, the woman who made Gombe famous.
Yeah.
And Jane.
And
is,
you were, and
wonderful.
We were talking a little bit off air, and you were involved in the movie. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you mentioned that the recent movie called Jane, and based on some film that was discovered that was taken quite early in some of it in the early 60s, in the mid 60s. So very much the period that I know very well because I've written the biography, and also the book that we're talking about now, The Ghosts of Gombe, is set during that early period. And so I was hired by the people making the film as a consultant, and that was fun, you know. And it makes sense. I do know this material probably as well as anybody, so it seems appropriate.
You know what I'm curious about in the work I do, and especially and also on the show, it's always talk about people having a dream, about really, if you have a dream, to really go for it. And it's you know, it's not that easy, but if you do, you really find yourself fulfilled. So was it for you, the story you've told so far was more like almost like a flow? Was this a burning desire for you, or did just something you fell into? It almost seems like you kind of fell into this.
Well, I think writing was my burning desire and my dream. And but I also realized, when I was younger, I wrote a couple of novels, and I realized I wasn't really interested in writing novels. I don't really care about my own personal life that much, and most novels do come from one's own personal life. So I turned to nonfiction. And so that was the dream, but part of the dream, really, which I didn't recognize at the time, was to write about nature and to be close to nature and animals, and that's just part of it. I just didn't know that, but when I look back and look at my childhood, and it all makes sense.
And where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Corning, New York, so a small town in the middle of upstate New York, and you know, this was the old days when you know, kids could wander, and I spent just a lot of time wandering in the woods and camping out, and I had a dog, and it was a wonderful childhood, and I really identified with the natural world, and you know, I was a Boy Scout. So yeah, that's the background.
And then recently you just came out with The Ghost of Gombe. So what
right.
was the motivation behind that book? I mean, you talk about your relationship with Jane Goodall, and you kind of got into a lot of that in her biography, and you go ahead and you write a new book. What was the motivation behind that?
Well, once I started writing about animals, particularly endangered species, that's when I felt I had really found what I wanted. And I do care about animals and endangered species, and I do feel nobody really appreciates how serious the environmental situation is all of the large mammals are declining in numbers, some of them very seriously. So this is just a story I feel needs to be told. And my writing becomes easier because I know what I care about. I write what I care about. This is my passion. Writing about Jane, I was not writing about the person. I was writing about this woman who lived with nature and who cared about nature and worked with animals. So even when I write about people, I'm really writing about nature and animals. I've written books about elephants and so on, and not just primates, not just chimps. But this next book, The Ghosts of Gombe, which has just come out, is another book about a woman who lived with nature. It's about living with nature at Gombe, Jane Goodall's site. It's also about Jane. And it's about, the beauties and the pleasures and the excitement of being in that world. And it's also about the dangers and the frustrations and the fact that, you can risk your life. Just as you can risk your life walking on the streets of New York City, of course.
What are you in the Ghost of Gombe? What did you discover? I mean, it sounds like how did she the woman that died that followed the chimpanzees, her body's found? Did they ever determine what the cause of death was?
Well, I think the book is an attempt to answer that question, and I don't, it is kind of a whodunit or a whatdunit.
Uh-huh.
How did she die?
Uh-huh.
And because of that, I don't want to spoil it for the reader by revealing answer.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did, what happened was that my dear friend Geza Teleki, he was the one who introduced me to Jane so many years ago. And it happened that he was a student of Jane's at Gombe in 1968 and 69. And it happened that he was the boyfriend and the fiancé of the woman who died. I had known this for many years, but Geza never talked about her. Her name is Ruth, and it seemed like just a sensitive subject. Geza and I were never talked about it. And when I wrote the biography, I did have a chapter about the death and that year, what happened during the year, but I didn't particularly focus on it. And I thought I understood what happened. But then in 2006, I got a phone call from Geza. I hadn't spoken to him for a long time, but, we're lifelong friends. He's now no longer alive. And Geza said, "Dale, I've just got to talk to you." And so I said, "Sure, of course." And I went down to Washington, D.C. Geza was beside himself, terrible shape. He knew he was dying then, and he wanted to talk about Ruth. And he had spent, basically ever since her death in 1969, he had tried to forget, tried to ignore. He put away all of her letters. He put away anything he'd written about her, just tried to forget Ruth. And then he started remembering in 2006. And the reason he started remembering was that he got a note from somebody asking him how Ruth died. And that note also suggested that she had committed suicide, and there were later notes saying he was discovering that there were rumors about Ruth that she'd committed suicide,
uh-huh.
And another rumor was that she had been pushed. So Geza just began to look back and to explore what really happened and to start to read the old letters, and was devastating for him, and so I essentially became his therapist for a few years. I'd go down to Washington, D.C.
Another career, right? Another career.
Another career, yeah. But,
yeah.
It's something you do with a valued friend. You'll sit and listen, and I did that. And The other part was Geza knew from the start that this might be material for a book. So we talked, but they were all tape-recorded conversations. So by the end of it, I had dozens and dozens of hours of conversations with Geza, and then I began interviewing other people who had been there and began looking at documents and records and correspondence. So I knew that there was a story here, and I knew it was a story, you know, not only about this young woman and how she died and her death, but also about the entire Operation Gombe and also about the chimpanzees. And
right.
The chimpanzees are, as you've seen, because you've seen the book, the chimpanzees are essentially characters in the book along with many of the people.
Right. And some of the, and you describe in The Ghost of Gombe some of the relationships that some of the workers had with the chimpanzees. What can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's striking, and I've always, you know, chimpanzees are, the reason that they're so thoroughly studied is they're pretty amazing animals. They're genetically as close to human as you can get. And what that means, among other things, is that you can get a blood transfusion from chimpanzee blood and you'll survive just fine.
Wow.
It also means that you can get any disease that a chimpanzee has, you know, and vice versa. So chimps get polio. AIDS in humans is SIV in chimps, the same virus with just very, very minor differences. So all of these diseases are transferable. You know, the other part of it, and to get back to this idea of friendships with chimps, is that they have very much our emotional equipment. So it's not surprising that people can have friendships with chimps. And people, you know, it's very rare for a person to have a good relationship with a captive chimp, but I do know someone who has adopted a chimp, and he just considers it to just be a child in the family. This chimp is now 20-some years old and big enough to tear him to pieces. So I don't recommend that for anybody, but in any case, I do understand the attachment that people can develop with chimps. I've never done it, but I have actually spent time following chimpanzees in a forest, and I understand the amazing sensation that happens when you're with the chimpanzees in their world doing what they want to do, and they're accepting you as a presence. They realize you're not a chimp, but they also realize you're harmless. You're not going to hurt them. You're not a predator, so they can tolerate you, and it is quite an amazing experience.
Wow. No, there is this fascination. I just think I shared with you the death of Coco, the gorilla that died recently at the age of 46, and that was quite something. You know, this is such a fascinating conversation that we're having, but we're running out of time. And I kind of want to bring this back to the whole idea of the Inspire Possibility Show. What right now inspires you?
Well, I'm still inspired by writing and writing about nature, and I feel this is a story I'm telling again and again and again. So I'm just, you know, now that I finished with Ghosts of Gombe, I'm wondering what my next book is. And I think it will be another book about someone else who has had an unusual experience with the natural world. That's, you know, I have had myself unusual experiences in nature, which is to say, I don't really, how to put this, I feel I'm living in a world where people imagine that the only species that's alive is the human species. and they imagine that all other species in the world are simply background. They don't really count. We don't really care about them. When you read the world news, you're reading the news about the human world. I realize it's the human world. It's not the world. I've seen the world, which is the human world on the natural world. I've spent enough time pursuing primates that I can look on a map and see where, you know, this primate species lives and see where that primate species lives, but they're never on the map because the map you have is always about the human existence.
Yeah, we're going to have to sign off here, okay. Unfortunately.
But that's my goal, and that's what I'm writing about, trying to express my own sense of what nature
is. So we'll all look forward to that. And where can people get your book, Ghosts of Gombe?
Well, yeah, Ghosts of Gombe, get it at the bookstore, get it on Amazon, get it at your, you know, order it on at your local bookstore. It's, you know, it's out there. They can also look on my website, DalePetersonAuthor.com.
So thank you very much, Dale Peterson,
well,
for being the
thank
guest
you, Mark.
On the Inspire Possibility Show. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And every week we have amazing people join us that can enlighten us, share their wisdom with us. And in the meantime, until next week, journey on. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.